The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And there's plenty to talk about after a packed weekend full of sports. So it's great to be joined by Mick McCarthy from Off the Ball. Hello.
Hi, Claire.
How are you? We're going to start with the Munster final, Limerick and Cork, and this controversy at the end. Cork not happy that the referee blew the whistle when they had the free in their own half. Just talk us through what happened and why it was controversial.
Yeah, so there was 5 minutes or so of extra time, of added time added in the game, which wouldn't be unusual these days. And it certainly also wouldn't be unusual that stoppage time takes a little bit longer and a bit more time is played on. But Limerick were a point ahead and Cork did get a free with about maybe a minute and a half extra already played. It took a long time for that free to be taken. There was an injury. There was some conversation with the referee, the Cork goalkeeper, Patrick Collins. You could see him speaking to the referee. We obviously don't know what was said in that conversation. But the sense was, do I have to go for this or do I have time to play it out? Now, what happened was Collins played it very short. Then there was another short pass played, and then the final whistle went. So Cork were obviously outraged that they didn't get a chance to get the ball in, try to get the score that they needed to bring it to extra time.
Yeah.
And there was a sort of a sense, almost like an unwritten rule, that like if you get the free, if you're not being told by a referee, this is it, this is your last hit, then let it play out. And
so the ref would normally say to you, play it long because this is going to be it.
There's sort of different people are saying different things, but there's always just been a sense, I suppose, in the GAA, again, an unwritten rule that like if this is the last shot of the game, he'll let you know. So we're about 100 yards out against the wind. I don't think it was possible for him to score. It was out of his range, but he probably would have went for it. Whereas in this case, he said the referee never said that to him, never said it was the last hit, and passed it short, and then the referee called it today.
Well, we have a clip here of Ben O'Connor, the Cork manager's assessment of what happened at the end of the game. As Mick was saying, the Cork players surrounded the officials. So here's what Ben said.
I met some of the boys there and they just said, they said to him, going off the field, that he didn't tell them it was the last bucket of the ball. John, I thought normally a referee just said, this is it, lads, go direct on it, but they said he didn't. So now the boys, when you say surrounded them, that's a little bit much now. They were walking alongside him. He'd his team of officials alongside him, stewards, they were walking alongside him. There was no one raised their voice to just say, why didn't you tell us? That was the only issue the boys said.
They were walking alongside him, not surrounding him.
No, yeah. Very pedantic.
Hairs. So what happens from here then on the road to championship final day?
Like it was a huge game. There was a sense that Limerick obviously had won 6 Munster titles in a row up until last year, where they came up against Cork and lost. Or so they would almost say they didn't lose. They drew the game and lost on penalties. And then they went out in the quarterfinal and I suppose shocked everybody by losing to Dublin that day, and that was the end of Limerick's All-Ireland. So there was a feeling this week going in that these teams are so, there's such a rivalry between them, they're so close, that this could be a body blow to the loser. It wasn't just about winning the Munster title, that they could go and struggle. I don't really buy that. I think Cork are going to play Offaly now in a quarter-final, and then if they win that, they'll play Galway, who won the Leinster title on Saturday evening, in a semi-final. There's an argument, and it has been made all week, that the losers of yesterday's game probably have an easier route through to the All-Ireland. There's a very, very good chance, Claire. We saw them in the league final against each other. We saw them in the Munster round robin. We saw them yesterday in the Munster final. I know we've taught this for a few years and it hasn't actually happened, but I actually can't see a way that Limerick and Cork don't meet in an All-Ireland final again this year.
Wow.
Their performances this year have been so far and away better than everybody that they've come up against.
Yeah.
I just find it hard to believe that one of them will be caught, as they might suggest. Now, neither played, I think, to their outstanding best yesterday. Conditions were a factor. I think there's a lot of argument about the refereeing even before that controversial end to the game, because you know, there was a lot of niggly frees and different things. It was a very stop-start game. But also, they probably cancelled each other out a little bit. Another team isn't going to be able to play against them as well.
Battle Royale will be the next one, and you're saying it's very likely it'll be the two again, the final.
I kind of think so. Limerick go straight through to an All-Ireland semi-final now. They have a 4-week break. They'll play either Clare or Dublin in that game, and Cork will play Offaly in 2 weeks, and if they win that, they'll advance to play Galway.
And Dublin have had their final against Kilkenny back in that match. Some people are saying now, you know, because that was an emphatic win for Galway.
Yeah.
So, you know, had they done their good work back then,
they'll hate to hear that.
I know that, but it does happen, doesn't it?
It might. I thought I have to say after just a couple of minutes of that game, and they did live with Galway for 50 or 60 minutes, but after just a couple of minutes, I thought they looked tight. And that's just when balls aren't going to hand and all the things they can do as second nature seem laboured. And for me, I wonder, is it more that they didn't perform well in the Leinster final when they got there last year against Kilkenny? And I wonder if this year is like, everybody was praising them after them beating Limerick last year, after them beating Kilkenny and Galway this year, getting to another Leinster final. Big crowd there. There was like 45, 46,000 in Croke Park, which is big for a Leinster final. We haven't seen that kind of crowd in a few years. The Dubs came out, you know, and I wonder, is it more the occasion? And they built it up a little bit too big and they didn't really perform. So Galway were very impressive. I think people will look at Galway slightly differently after that performance. But at the same time, I don't think anyone would argue that Dublin were at their best.
You know, I have a deal with Owen Shane when he's here. When Laois win, we always mention it.
Yeah,
so
well,
can we keep that
it's
going?
It's very entitled this week, I would say. You know, I think usually maybe it's a little bit shoehorned in, but I think they've, you know, this was their third Joe McDonagh Cup final in a row. And I think to lose three in a row is that sort of devastating thing to a group that, you know, it's tough to come back from. But they were really impressive, I thought. Like, Carlo didn't help themselves. Carlo hit 22 wides in that match, which is just an unbelievable number. But Laois were always in control, I thought, anyway. And they were brilliant. And look, they had their usual brilliant performances from people who've been watching Laois hurling for years, from Stephen, Picky Marr, Aaron Dunphy were great. But this guy, Killian Dunn, got 1-6. He's been their player of the year all year and he looks like a real deal. So great to see Laois back up in where they belong next year in the All-Ireland.
Look ahead to next year on that one. Now, we'll just move to the rugby. Leinster squeaking past the Stormers at the weekend. Well, it's 20 points to 11. But would you agree that they won't be totally happy with their performance?
I think so. All the noises that are coming out of it are understandable in that it's a semi-final against a team that I think they lost 35-0 to earlier in the year in South Africa. So, you know, that's what they're going to say is like, you win a semi-final, they're there for winning, they're not there for brilliant performances. But Leinster went 13-0 up in the game and never built on it. Then they ended up needing the Stormers to collect, I think, a red card and two separate yellow cards in the second half and a late Gibson Park try to seal it. And it didn't feel like Leinster were firing on all cylinders by any means. And you add to that the fact that, you know, it was 15,000. I mentioned the crowd in Crow Park. I mentioned, like, you
compare and contrast.
Everyone would have seen Cork yesterday where there wasn't a ticket to be had. And yeah, you compare it to, there's just somewhat of a malaise, I think, in Irish rugby at the moment in terms of crowds and everything like that. And I wonder, are people just assuming Leinster are going to be in finals? So we'll see. They're in Crow Park now in Friday, 2 weeks, the 19th of June, for the final against the Bulls, second year in a row. They've played them in Dublin. It'll be really interesting to see if they can
There'll surely
a crowd
be
for
a
it.
Big crowd for that.
There'll be more than 15,000, I would say, and you would have to think, but like Leinster in their heyday, you're going in a final in Dublin, you're talking about 50, 60,000. I don't see it at the moment. Now, we've got a couple of weeks build up and we'll see, and they're very good at making occasions out of these things.
Yeah,
but again, it's just, there's something not clicking on the pitch, and yet they're in another URC final, having been in a European final, and then there's something just not clicking off it as well with the fans.
There's a big problem though in Croke Park when you have 15,000 people or thereabouts. Just, it looks awful.
It doesn't. It feels completely bereft. You may as well have nobody there as 15,000, funnily enough, with the size of the stadium.
And the women footballers had a great match on Friday night, beating the Netherlands 3-2, which was a great performance from them.
Yeah, this was unbelievable. And this is in Páirceachaoimh again. It's had an unbelievable weekend for that new stadium, but absolute lashings of rain, Claire. It never stopped for the whole game. And by the end, so Ireland went up twice in the game. The Netherlands came back into it twice, 2-2 each time. Like, Netherlands are ranked very significantly higher than Ireland. There was a sense of like, can they do it? You kind of feel it will go the other way, if anything. But there was some tenacity in this team, like, you know, and they had the likes of Kyra Caruso and Abby Larkin up front, who scored the two first goals, and they ran their socks off all night. They were brilliant. They came off. Amber Barrett came on, and we've seen her do it so many times before, you know, and she gets the winner in the lashings of rain. It's a really iconic moment in Irish women's football. Like, so they go to France now tomorrow night if they win in France, which is a huge tall order, let's not pretend it's this like a given or anything like that. It's unlikely, but they'll qualify for the World Cup.
Incredible.
At the first ask in like one of the hardest groups you could possibly imagine. They're in great shape anyway now with what they've done already in this group to go into a playoff where they'll probably be the highest ranked of four teams over two rounds. So we've a great chance of qualifying for the World Cup, but they could go and do it tomorrow night.
They could. They could. That you never know is right. Now, Christian Eriksen, my own heart nearly stopped when I saw this. I mean, he's 34 years old, Danish international, and everybody remembers what happened to him a couple of years ago. 2020, wasn't it? When he had that incident, and he has his pacemaker fitted now, but he collapsed again.
Yeah, really scary. Really scary. It was one of those things that like the text started hopping, and you know, I don't know how many people were watching Denmark-Ukraine live last night in a friendly, but there wasn't much football on, so I'd say it was more than a few, you know, and just this sense of, and it kind of happened a little bit off camera, which I'm kind of glad of, and they didn't go and see it, but you saw in the shots that they were showing of managers and the sideline of everybody just panicking and running on, because obviously everybody has it in their head what happened to him back in the Euros, as you mentioned. So it was just really awful. Now, I think it is actually one of those stories that everything worked the way it was supposed to, and he ended up walking off the pitch. Apparently he walked onto the ambulance and went off and had tests and everything like that. It obviously puts into doubt his future in the game, and especially at this World Cup and so on, and can that continue? But the implantable defibrillator seemed to work, and you know, there was only a momentary kind of fear, as opposed to obviously what we went through a few years ago when everybody was, you know, on edge for a significant amount of time.
It's incredible what he has done, though, in the aftermath of that incident in 2020, to play at the level that he has been playing at.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, he went on and had 3 more years in the Premier League, 2 with Manchester United. And obviously he was hoping to go to another World Cup here, having been to the previous, Denmark are out of the World Cup. These pre-World Cup friendlies are confusing me, but Denmark obviously didn't qualify. But even the fact that he was at the Euros a couple of years ago and so on, like that he's had this whole second half of his career after, again, we all feared the worst when we were watching live a few years ago.
Mick, thanks very much.
No worries.
Of course, we'll all be up at all hours now when the World Cup does start on Thursday. Mick McCarthy there from Off the Ball.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.